Yes? That reminds me of one of my favorite movies, Dead Poets Society. Remember that? Anybody remember Dead Poets Society? That's a great movie. And then it's God. He's saying you should let women in, whatever the name of that college was. I remember that. That was one of my favorite movies. Oh, Captain, my Captain. Okay, let's get back on focus. Amen. Well, I get to be in the pulpit for the first time this year. Amen. Woohoo! All right. Do you know, you're cheering because you're like, oh boy, we got to get this guy some help. We've those that missed it, I encourage you to get online, check it out, slcmartinsville.org, as you know. But Kenny just did a six-week series on the Sermon on the Mount. It was one of the best teaching series we've had done here since I've been here. It was it built every week upon the week. It was wonderful. So I encourage you. And it was, I don't know if you all knew how this started. Kenny told me he had a heart for that message. And then New Year's weekend, I just wasn't feeling great. I said, man, I'm just really not myself. Would you mind taking Sunday morning? I don't know if you all knew how that all started. And then he took 6 weeks. So I just want you to know, I just ask, I wasn't feeling well. So next time I don't feel good, I'm going to lie. I'm going all out. It's going all out now. But I would have given this word early in the year, but I'm glad we did what we did. But this, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about vision. And every year I kind of set a new one for the church and for us personally. So if you would, let's start with some good verses that we're going to build on. Hebrews chapter 11, if you've been to this church for long enough, you know these are verses that we read often. But let's start at verse 1, and we all know these verses well. And I apologize, I forgot to give the computer person my verses today. And now you really miss Kenny. Let's start at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. For by faith, by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. We'll stop there for a second, but here's point one of this morning. We're going to talk about getting a dream and a vision for what God wants to do for you personally and for us as a church. You can't accomplish anything in the kingdom without faith. You agree with that? Faith is the foundation. Faith is the substance of everything that we have as believers. You are saved by faith through grace. By grace, you're saved through faith. Excuse me, the way around. So grace saved you, but God gave you enough faith to believe in the grace that was yours. Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you're saved through faith. Faith is the foundation of everything we receive from God. You can't believe for, you can't ask, you can't do anything without having faith. And so this year, I want to share this with you. So in the last couple of years, I've been accused, and I'm okay with it, by the way, of preaching a lot about faith. Kenny's been accused of preaching a lot about faith. You know why? Because faith is the foundation of everything we have in the kingdom of God. You receive your inheritance by faith. You receive grace by faith. Everything you receive is by faith. And if faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. It is the foundation of every expectation and hope you have in your life. Imagine going through life hoping, you know, I'm hoping with a win and a prayer. You know, I'm just hoping. Imagine if you had no foundation of faith to that hope. It'd be destructive. Because a lot of you would have false expectations that something good's going to happen, but the faith that we have is in a God that can make it happen. It's in a God that will do it on your behalf. And so faith is the substance of everything. So we've been preaching a lot about this, and now I have received the word the Lord gave me for 2018 is really simple. It's time to increase. I want to see everything in your life. I'm not talking just church. I'm going to get to church, and I'm going to do both today. I'm going to try. We'll see how well I do. I want to see every part of our life increase. When Amy came a couple weeks ago, and were all of you here? We could go and have her share again if you want. But she had a great word when she was sharing her vision for the year. I remember she was driving and saw those fields, and it says, all those seeds, and I'm not going to do as good of a job as she will, but all those seeds you see out there, you need to start calling them forth. Is that good? Close? Okay. Start calling forth those seeds that you've been planting for years. Start calling forth your relationships to be what God called them to be. Start calling forth and speaking and declaring faith words over those seeds. I believe 2018, if we will continue to steadfastly move, and I want to give you it's kind of encouraging. About a year ago, I was in a meeting, and it wasn't a church related. It was a different part of my life that I was a part of. And I said, I was praying for this meeting, and the Lord gave me a word. And the word was a warning to this place. And I said, if this doesn't happen, I really believe we're going to need to do some things different. And sure enough, nobody took heed to the warning. And I don't give a lot of these. If you're around me a lot, you know I don't normally say, the Lord told me to tell you this, but I did. And things went awry. And I went back to the meeting 6 months later and said, you know, the Lord warned us of this. And so this morning, I'd like to give you a declaration. The Lord is telling us, I believe, if we would stand in faith, believing those things that God said to go and speak to, we're going to see them fulfilled this year. Not next year, this year. So I guess one of the things I wrote out here like 15 times, will you believe with me? The key is this year and this morning, as I'm speaking some of these declarations over the church and over your life, I want you to not just say, that's good, smile and nod, but would you agree and believe with me? Would you believe with me, and I'm going to get to a bunch of stuff down there in a minute, will you believe with me that your relationships in 2019 will be nothing like they were, because there's fulfillment and there's passion back? Would you believe with me that the Lord wants to increase your finances? And all these things we'll get to in a minute. If you believe, you will see. That's what the word says. Our faith isn't what we see, it's what we believe. And that's what we believe in, a God that can do it. So I believe it. So Hebrews 11, then jump over to Hebrews 6. And we're going to stay in Hebrews in just a second. Hebrews 6, it's funny. Verse 12. And this is a verse I've used often, but if we're going to have faith, the next thing faith requires in verse 12, it says, that you be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience, you inherit the promise. So now we establish the foundation of everything we receive from God is by faith. The next one, they add a word to it, and it's your favorite word in all of Scripture. Isn't it? Patience. Don't you love that word? Just a minute. Be patient. Kids love it. And I'm still a kid, so I don't love it. Okay, I hate it. Just be patient. Me, patient? I mean, I wanted it done yesterday. Anybody? I mean, we want it done now. But in God, faith requires you to be patient and stand on the word. And through faith and patience, that's when you'll inherit the promise. Let faith have her perfect work, that you be able to lack nothing in James 1. Think about this. When patience is fulfilled in your life, you will lack nothing. When faith and patience work together, you will inherit what the word says. All those seeds that Amy was saw, everything you're speaking over with faith and patience. You know what? You can't plant corn today and expect seeds tomorrow. True? You got to put that thing in the ground and let it make its job. Water, soil, all that magically mixes together, right? And boom, out comes corn. But you can't rush the process, because there's a time where that process needs to take place in your life. Faith and patience, you'll inherit the promise. Next one is this, Galatians 6. We're going to get out of the book of Hebrews for a second. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, but then you got to go back to verses 7 and 8, because you can't read verses 9 without 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, he'll reap. Now we know that all the way back in the Old Testament, Genesis, the law of sowing and reaping is never going to fail. Summer, seed time, harvest, summer, winter, all these things. And so sowing and reaping will never stop. We are never, ever stop living this process of sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, you will reap. I love that. Do not be deceived. God's not mocked. His system is working this way. And if you don't do it this way, it's a mockery to God. You know, giving your tithes and offerings is part of the system. We give, so we are part of the system of sowing. When we're sowing, we expect to reap. When you sow kindness, what do? You reap kindness. When you're driving down the road and someone cuts you off and you want to give them the one finger wave really bad, or you just want to give them the look, just sow kindness to them. None of you ever would do that in this church. You're too holy. But you know, when you get angry on the road, you know, we were deciding the other day what road rage, was it yesterday? No, a couple days ago.
we're deciding what the definition of road rage really was because we were wondering how close we were. I just want you to know. So I was wondering if sometimes I might borderline, but then we agreed that my rage leads me nothing. It's just me talking to a windshield. So it's pretty harmless right now. If you've been in the car with me, though, it can be very annoying. I tell the car to move and they don't move. I don't get it. You're in the fast lane. Get out of the way or speed up, right? Isn't that, that's common practice. But they don't move, by the way, and then I just keep talking. I'm speaking it in faith. No, let's not fly that. God's not going to be mocked. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption, but he that sows to his spirit shall the spirit reap life everlasting. When we learn to live in the spirit, sow in the spirit, live and as people, think about it. If God is our life source and our spirit, and we're sowing out of that and sowing into that, life will happen everywhere we go. And then verse 9, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not faint. So the three things I want to share with you this morning about setting our vision is, number one, you have to have faith, you have to have patience, and then you have to have perseverance. It says you will reap if you don't faint. Keep doing the right thing, whether you're seeing it or not. If you keep doing things in faith, whether it's your time, whether it's your money, whether whatever you're doing in relationships, if you think you can love your wife or love your husband or do something good for them for just about, I'm going to time it. In 6 weeks, I'm going to make sure that everything gets done. If it doesn't happen in 6 weeks, you know what? I tried my best. How effective is that? What you have to do is change your lifestyle. Your lifestyle has to fulfill the vision you have. And if the vision you have for your finances is to prosper and be blessed, you better do things. You better live by a budget. You better give your tithe. You need to do things that honors the Lord in those areas. If you want your relationships to succeed, you have to do the same thing. You have to stay consistent and keep sowing. You can't just do it for a week and go, I tried. Man, she's just not going to change. She's that stubborn woman I told you she was. And you know what? You're back to where you were, but worse. Because this time now you think you tried and now you're hardened and you're thinking and you've made judgments and everything else on the sun you need to repent of. So if we're going to have a vision and a goal that we're setting for the church and for your life, they have to have these three aspects. They have to have faith, they have to have patience, and they have to have perseverance. We will see this happen if we do not faint, if we don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't faint. Amen? So that being said, here's what the Lord's putting in my heart. This is a year of increase. So I'm going to ask you today that the Lord will show you this, because I'll get to the spirit-led part in just a minute. It's time for us to have bigger dreams, bigger faith goals, bigger focus, bigger passion, and just dream bigger in general. And the reason why we do that is because I believe God wants to fulfill these things in our life this year. Tell me what area in your life right now God doesn't want to make better. If you say anything, then you're wrong. There's nothing in your life that God does not want to make better for you. There's nothing in your life that God doesn't want you to be more prosperous than you are today. God is a God of victory, is a God of increase, and he's a God of blessing. And anything that we have to, you know, a lot of times you keep talking about blessing and prosperity. You know what? God talks about it. He talks about, he wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to be blessed in the city, blessed in the fields, blessed when you go, blessed when you come. This is the God that we serve. He wants to not just give you what is, he wants to press down, shake it together, shall men give unto your bosom, and it runs over. He doesn't want you just to have enough. He wants you to be blessed so you can be a blessing to others. When we learn that our life here is not just for us to succeed, but to have our success bring other success in people's lives, then you're going to see why God brings it. Whether it's financial, whether it's relationship, whether it's spiritual, God wants to increase you this year so you can become part of it. I also believe that 2018 is going to be a year where some of you really truly believe to grab the vision that there is ministry in every single one of you. I encourage you to stop running. I really have this as a big star next to me. There is ministry in every single person that's been created by God. And we run from it because we don't feel like we belong or there's no place for us. Why don't you begin to ask God, as your gift will make room for you? Why don't you begin to ask God where your gift can start making room for you? And you could be a part of something that is there, or maybe you come to Kenny or myself or some of the leaders, you know what? I really have a heart for this, and it might match something that God's putting on our heart in a different area. But do not pull back, and do not just keep waiting for another year to go by, and you sit on the sidelines and wonder, man, I hope somebody does that one day. There needs to be the church needs to grow in this area. If you see, this is a great statement that has been made in this church for 15 years, it was made by some friends of ours in Georgia. If something in this church really angers you and bothers you, it's probably because you might have the solution inside of you. If something you're noticing and recognizing this church doesn't have, maybe it's because you're supposed to help fulfill that. Just think about that. Because the person sitting next to you have probably not thought twice about it. They probably have never even thought about, why does that bother you so bad? It's because they have passion for it and you don't. Therefore, the passion they have, which we're going to get to in a minute, the passion they have will fuel the vision that they need to accomplish. You can't have vision, which I'll get to, I might as well jump in my notes right now. You can't accomplish vision without having passion. The worst thing we can do as a church is to lay out a vision right there that there's no passion behind. When we understand that every single aspect of where we're going as a church and where you're going as a family, where you're going as a marriage, where you're going in your finances, where you're going, everything in part of your life, if it's not fueled by passion, it will fail. Because passion is the very life source of the Spirit of God inside of you, lighting that dream, lighting that passion so you can fulfill it. It empowers you to fulfill the vision. And so that being said, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. And I'm going to jump on our vision for the year, and then I'm going to come back to the conclusion. How's that? I'm going to take a time out. Those of you know our vision, would you mind putting our vision statement on the screen? Thank you very much. I know it's somewhere in one of your files up there. But our vision for Spirit Life Church, we wrote this out, leaders, what was it, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? A while ago. And anyways, our vision was written out, prayed over for months. We went over this for months. And it says, we are a Spirit-filled community of believers. So I'll start while they're looking up that file. It's in the announcement. They have to go through all. They have to change programs and all that. You know. Spirit-filled. What does Spirit-filled mean? Exactly what it sounds like. We believe we want to be a church that operates in a Spirit-filled environment. We're not just here to play church. We don't just want to have a good song service. But the key is this. Do you know that contemporary worship is found at every church in America right now? For the most part. There's a few that don't believe in instruments. There's a few that don't believe in the loud noises we make and all this stuff. But for the most part, they really want you to get that faster shrinker. today, weigh in. You know why I don't do the faster shrinker? I work too hard to get where I'm at. I don't want to shrink. No, that's terrible. Took a lot of buffets to get where I'm at. But the vision that we have, we'll get Spirit-filled. The difference is I don't want this to be a contemporary worship service. I want this to be a Spirit-filled worship service where the Holy Spirit is breathing upon. And if you ever get to watch that band, they're not just going through a song service. They're really worshiping. They're worshiping in spirit and truth. The words of truth and the spirit inside of them are worshiping, and they're releasing the presence and the atmosphere that God wants to fill in this church. And so what's exciting is, I'm going to do it that way instead. There's more than one way to find this out, isn't there? So we'll figure it out. But I didn't realize this was going to be such a hard request. I thought it was right there every week. Hey, look at that. These guys are good. So I started with Spirit-filled, but let me finish that one, then I'll go back to prophetic because I didn't write it out. Spirit-filled is a way we got to live every day. We ought to teach people to live a Spirit-filled life, and that is to operate in the gifts of the Spirit on a daily basis. You know, people get freaked out about the gifts sometimes. Do you know that whenever I struggle with something, whenever I'm battling getting a word from the Lord, the first thing I do is I just shut off all my surroundings and I pray in the Spirit. Why? Because according to Jude, it says it builds me up. It encourages me. It edifies me. Paul says this, you know, the guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, I listen to him. He's got a lot of stuff to say. He says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. But in church, I'd rather you prophesy. He didn't negate tongues. He said, in church, I'd rather have you speak 5 intelligible words here because people can understand them. But outside of church and for your personal life, you go ahead, and he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. That means this was a common practice in the early church. The gifts of Spirit were manifested not just on Sundays, actually, but outside of the four walls. The gifts of Spirit were used at Walmart. Maybe not back then, but now they can be. They had Meijer back then, but not Walmart. Where I'm from, that's what we had. But anyways, the gifts of Spirit should manifest. Gifts of healing. Why shouldn't that flow in the grocery store? Why shouldn't that flow? I mean, I've heard stories where people walking down the grocery store and the Lord just puts this person on their heart and says, can I pray for you? Why can't we operate in that every day? And so being a Spirit-filled church isn't just coming in here being Spirit-filled. It's being Spirit-filled as believers. Prophetic. We've taken 6 weeks. We're on week 7. This class, if it has taught you anything, if the ones that are continuing to come, I appreciate it. It's taught you that prophecy is an everyday thing. It's just the ability to hear God and speak to others, and it's giving us a bunch of parameters that are good. Last week, I talked about doing an etiquette and how you don't just yell out something because you got it right in the middle of the pastor's sermon is what the example he gave last week. But you prophecy ought to have etiquette. You ought to know when and how to operate in it. But every single believer has the ability to prophesy, to hear the Lord and speak. And you know, we heard a statement this week on the news, and I won't get political because I don't even know all the facts behind it. I just read that said that somebody, I don't even know what, some media person said that Mike Pence is insane because he says he hears God speak to him. And then I read this, that it was Martin Luther King Jr. His granddaughter came out and said, well, if he's insane, so is my grandfather, because he heard the Lord speak to him regularly. And I thought that was pretty powerful, because as Christians, we can't be embarrassed to know that we hear the voice of God. And that's what prophetic means. We ought to be a people that believe we can hear God. The second part of that, Spirit-filled, prophetic, is a community of believers. I want to be a church that's not just coming together for a Sunday morning, but I want to be a community. And we're going to talk a little bit, I'm going to get to some of these in just a minute, but a community of believers is a family. It's a place where we can depend on one another. Kenny was talking about in a sermon last week multiple times, and even over in private meetings with him, some of you, his heart this year is really bleeding, really passionate for helping the church and outside the church becoming a better community. Acts 2, we're not going to plan on doing this unless if you guys want to, we'll take a vote later. But I said they brought all their possessions in, and one gave them to the pastor. No, they didn't give the pastor. I was able to pick through what I wanted, and then I gave them. No, they brought everything in. They had all things in common. So nobody had a lack. So forget the idea that we're going to be giving away all of it to me. But the key is, the church didn't lack anything because the believers, the community, took care of each other. We loved one another enough to meet the needs of those fellow brothers and sisters in need. Wouldn't that be a powerful testimony that we become a community where we're helping and loving one another where they feel like they belong? Next part of that is equip. Now we have the three words, to equip, to empower, and to impact. What you're going to see on our website, and Kenny and Amy have been working a lot on this, and they called me. Out of the country, I talked to Kenny. He's like, he's giving me all this stuff. I mean, they're excited. You can tell they're in their meeting. I missed my meeting. I was out. And I said, hey, I just trust you guys. Whatever you want to do, just do it. Because these two were fired up, and they went for it. If you look at the website between what it was and where it is now and where we're going, it's going to give you these three words in every area in the church. This is going to be really exciting. And then you're going to hear more about it on March 11th, by the way. I'll get to that in just a second. Every area in our church is going to be categorized in one of those three areas. We're either equipping, we're empowering, or we're impacting. And that's the vision of our church. So every ministry in this church is going to be doing one of those three things. And we're going to start helping in a couple weeks, not this morning because it's during church, we're going to help unveil those things. Some of them are existing ministries, some are future ministries, but we're going to unveil how we're going to equip you better, how we're going to empower the church better, and how we're going to impact the church and the community better. We have to do a better job. The church is a good church. I love this church. I've been here 20 plus years, but this church can do better. We can do better. I can do better. I can be a better leader. We have great leaders around me now that make me work harder now. They really push me forward. I love it. You know, getting in a meeting with those two now, it's like I thought I was the fire. Amy's coming in here. Man, she's got fresh fire coming in. I love it. You get those two in a room together, and they got a lot of similar passion about discipleship and outreach. I know one of the areas that God wants to increase us in the church is that. And so we are going to need you guys to step up and do those things now. We'll get to the vision in a minute. But I encourage you, this is the vision of this church. If you're new to church or you've been here a while, this is our heartbeat right here. We want to be a prophetic, spirit-filled body of believers, a family that impacts, empowers, and equips people to go out and do the work of the ministry. So the three things that we're going to be talking about right now, and we're going to get to here on March 11th at 1:30. So I'm pushing this time for you, March 11th at 1:30. March 11th at 1:30. We're going to have a meeting. It's 1:30 on March 11th. It's like 3 weeks from now. It's going to be like in about 3 weeks and 2 hours from now. And so if you haven't heard it, we're going to have a meeting. And it's going to be a vision meeting that you're going to hear our fiduciary fiscal stuff that you get to hear. You get to hear our budget and how we're doing and all the money that you raised, how last year we bought a school bus that was renovated and painted so it's the coolest color in all of Indiana, maybe even the Midwest for all I know. But we have a cool bus. We paid off the one house and we were able to sell it and get the profits from that. We were able to do a lot of things. We were able to give over $5,000 in benevolence ministry. That is an opportunity for us. We were able to give over $10,000 to Pakistan. We were able to do things because of the giving that you guys have, and we want to be doing a better job. And one of the things at this meeting is if somebody in this room knows of a ministry, and I'm not talking about I want to send a check overseas. I don't want to send a check to Zimbabwe. I want to partner with a ministry that we can sow into financially, and they can be a partner with us. That's why Pakistan is such a great fit, because we have a relationship. So we were always looking to be a better impact locally and internationally as a church. We want to be better at this area, and it's an area, but we just don't have a lot of those connections right now. Maybe some of this room does, and we're going to be praying about some of those things coming up. So the three, we're only setting three this year for now because we want to keep it simple. The three things that we have on our heart this year is we're going to start something called care groups. We've had a few meetings. We're going to have one next Sunday after church. And if you're going to be in that, you will be told here. No, you'll be voluntold, as I was a work term that I've been told. But we're going to have that meeting next Sunday after church. We're going to feed you, and we're going to talk about care groups and the heart behind them. And this is going to be a new ministry this church is going to birth, and I am excited about it. It's going to be a ministry where we actually, people that are missing, people that are struggling, people that just don't feel like we are going to have groups of people commissioned to go forth and care for people in a better way. It's going to be starting with just where they're at, how they're doing. It's going to then go into if there's funerals or meals or something. These little care groups are going to go, and the whole church will be involved in these groups, and we'll get to it in just a minute, but we're going to share that vision with you. March 11th at 1:30, we're going to share that with you. So it's exciting. The other thing we're going to talk about is our vision this year is we have raised over $30,000 in the last year and a half for our building fund. That's not including the chair fund and the bus fund and everything. That was another $10,000 plus. But we have over $30,000, and we have been in about a year now. We've been trying to buy the lots, and it's still slow, and we still are not getting answers. But we've decided that no matter what that is over there, we are going to break ground. One of the goals that we're setting this year is we'd like to break ground on a new sanctuary. It's not because we're running out of space. Look around you. It's because we can do more for our body and our community needs. It's just a way for us to fellowship. Imagine, one of the things I'm looking for is imagine having these care groups set up, and we're going to have the older versus the younger. So the upper 50 and older group gets to play the 20, 30, and we're going to play volleyball against each other. I can't wait. No, okay. We'll match them up a little bit better. You 50 and olders would whoop them, wouldn't you? You'd whoop them, wouldn't you, Melody? No. If you look at her face, she's not very interested in that either, by the way. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to back off on that one real quick. Either way, this is also a place for us to have events here at the church. Getting together, you're like, yeah, you can leave me out of this one. This is an opportunity for us to get together and have fun. Fellowship is good. Playing volleyball or playing pickleball or just getting together and having a place that we can really have room. We couldn't even have the Christmas breakfast here last year because we didn't have enough room. People, and I do know we had 20-something people we counted. We don't walk out because there were no seats along the wall and all the there was no seats. Now, that's not a problem every week. But why not have the room to grow? And why not have an opportunity for us to, and also the community needs a place to come and do things, and we want to be more impactful in our community. If there was a need in our community, we'd love to be able to allow them to use our space. And if we could make the building big enough and work it out, we can hopefully partner with the Y and do some stuff. Wouldn't it be awesome that we can become not just our body grows, but our community? And so it's bigger than just getting a bigger building. It's about an opportunity for us to build better community of believers and also impact our community better. It's a pretty good opportunity. And the last area that we're going to be working on and hopefully get something started by the end of the year or at least the vision set is the last one we talked about with discipleship and outreach. We really want to have an opportunity for everyone to know that can be discipled here. Discipleship is not just a new believer course. There are people who have been saved for 20 years that still don't know some basic principles on healing or on the baptism of the Holy Spirit or faith or whatever it might be. And we want to encourage you that we are going to have these classes. We want to start, and we're going to get to that down the road, but that's something Kenny's going to probably more head up than anybody. And these are visions we want to set for the year, goals we want to set, and we're going to talk more about this on March 11th at 1:30. Okay? Did y'all catch that? Daylight savings time. So if you remember, you lose an hour of sleep, but you get to come in here for an extra hour. Isn't that great? Okay, you lose an hour, but you gain two. Okay, so with that all being said, that's our church vision for the year, March 11th, 1:30. We're going to then, if you want to come, go grab some food. Come on back here. We fed you one time, but it's just too hard to get everything planned out for the day. So instead, we're going to have it just come on back after church. And we're going to give you our financials. We're going to get all the stuff that you might have questions and answers on. It'll be a great time. All the leaders will be there presenting what's on the heart of the church. And then we can have a time for questions and answers and just even an opportunity afterwards where all the leaders will be here. Come up to us. If God is putting something on your heart, come speak to us. Let us know so we can see it. Because if it's in the vision, we can see something happen. We can at least put it on out there for us to pray about. Amen? All right, so that being said, let's get back to the notes for you, for your vision for this year. So in all this being said, I wrote this out. In order for us to see the fulfillment of all the dreams that God's put inside of you, we must have passion. Passion is going to be the thing that drives our purpose. If you have a purpose, let's name some purposes. I have a bunch listed out here for you. Number one is this. If anybody in the room, we don't raise our hands here because I don't really need your raising my hand. But if anyone here cannot say that their marriage could not be better than it is today, then we'll talk about that later. You just need ministry. But I want to set some goals and some purpose out there. Our marriage, there's not a single marriage in this room that could be better tomorrow. There's not a single relationship with your children that couldn't be better tomorrow than it is today. And if you want to go and see your relationships increase, it's time to sow into those things too. Your time, your energy, your research. One of the things that I can encourage you on, if you're struggling in an area, there's enough information on the good old World Wide Internet, the web, that you can find information on that will help encourage you. I mean, you can get on Facebook and look at some of those family places. You can look and ask the Lord to show you areas that you can improve on yourself. The only way you fix your marriage is by telling your spouse how to change? No. By changing yourself. I mean, you can preach to them all day long about their weaknesses. And you know what? You're the only one going to be angry. Well, because they're angry at you. I was talking to someone this week. They don't go to church here. That's why I'm safe to say it. And they went to a counseling appointment, and they're laughing. I ran to an old friend, and I was talking to him. I said, I went in there, and I said, you know what, God? This is what they said. I just want you to do something new, and I just want to forget about the past, and I'm believing you for great things. His wife whips out 5 pages and goes, okay, let's talk about it. And by the time she got through page 3, he was so furious, he left. And you know what? Whose heart was right? Both of them, one of them went in there with a plan to say, if I get these out here, we'll fix it. The other one was thinking, I just want to bury my head in the sand and not fix it. There's different ways to approach it. You have to be spirit-led, and you have to be willing to work together because each one of you want to work your differences out differently, right? So we need to ask the Lord to give you the strategies you need to make your relationships better, friendships, marriages, children. I believe one of the goals that we all have set is I want our relationships to be stronger and healthier by the end of this year than they were in the beginning. Another one is our finances. Anybody, I don't know about you. I prefer my finances to be healthy. And if I looked at my bank account sometimes, it doesn't look very healthy. It looks a little anemic. And so I would like to do better at being a good steward of what God's given me. I want to pay my tithe. I want to pay my offer. I want to give. I want to sow into people around me that have needs. I want to pay my bills. I want to invest so I can have a future one day where I don't have to just keep working till I'm 90. These are things that you should, these are plans. But you know, if you have a plan, you have a purpose, you have to have passion to pursue it. Just because you set a budget in January doesn't mean in July you're doing very well. That's my testimony every year. I set a great budget. Man, I tell you, you want me to set a budget up for you? No problem. I'll get you in the black in 3 months. The problem is after 3 months, I forgot I had a budget. Anybody else with me at all? It's kind of like that, those New Year's resolutions. In 3 months, I forgot about the budget. You're like, oh, and you go back to bad patterns. That's where you need accountability and you need to work together. Finances, set some goals, some tangible goals that you can reach this year and believe that God, through faith, and you can do this. I believe this for you, that your finances will increase this year. Areas of ministry, I mentioned this again, I'm going to do it again here. I believe every single person in this room has ministry inside them. This is the year to reach out, branch out, and do something outside of the four walls of your house, and maybe even outside the four walls of this church, that you branch out and do something that can impact the kingdom, whether it's getting involved in the care groups, whether it's getting involved in the Tuesday night class that we're doing, or maybe there's something else God's putting in your heart, getting involved with Mom's Turn, or helping out the babysitting with Mom's Turn, or coming in on Monday nights, or whatever you're doing. Invest one extra day than just coming to church on Sunday mornings. Men, encourage me. Sunday morning church is awesome. I love church. But you know what I love? I love men's group on Monday night too. I like the class on Tuesday night we've been doing. I don't go to Mom's Turn, but I'm here sometimes while they're doing it. I like the fact they're back there and I'm not there. I like the idea that we get together and have fellowship with one another outside the four walls of church. Every one of you has the ability to have ministry inside of you, but you need to get involved and plug in a little bit more than you are. Encourage you, plug in. Do something, get involved, so therefore your gift will make room for you, and therefore God will open up doors for you in that. Wouldn't that be great? Let your gift make room for you. Find a place. You know, if youth ministry is on your heart, don't get offended if you walk up to Amy and go, Amy, and Amy's like, oh, hold on. Let her hear from the Lord too, because timing is important too. But if children's ministry is on your heart, go to Amy and say, if student ministries at all is on your heart, go to Amy and say, listen, I don't know why, but I feel like I'm supposed to just reach out to you. Reach out to her. Put your heart out there and let her pray about it and let you guys get back together. If going and being involved in any way, if you want to help out around the facilities of the building, go to Kenny and say, listen, you know what? I just would like to come and help out, maybe change light. I know we've been brought to our attention a few times that the light bulbs in the parking lot. If you want to leave the church late at night, you're going to be dark. And so we've been talking about, and you don't know, by the way, he's changed light bulbs all winter long. So it's not the fact that they're not being changed. This weather and the bulbs are not working. So we've been coming up with a plan. We're going to call and get different lighting. But you see, what if you had a chance to help out Kenny a little bit and do that? Kenny will spend time, hours here doing things that maybe we can give him a hand with. Or whatever it might be, let the Lord begin to speak to your heart to do that. All right, next one. Strongholds and battles in your life. Some of you, let's be honest. We talk about ministry, relationships, all these things. But what about your own personal walk with God? How are you doing with the battles that you walked in this year with? Are they addictions, strongholds? Let's get those things destroyed this year. I want to put my faith out with you right now, believing that every stronghold will be demolished in your life. Now, that you'll walk in freedom and victory in those areas that you've been struggling with, whether it's pornography, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's whatever it might be, whatever addiction in your life, no matter what it might be in your life, I believe that God has victory for you this year in that area. I want faith to believe for that. I don't want just faith to believe the mountain in my finances. I want faith to believe I walk in personal peace. Anybody just, I'm believing right now that every person who's walking in fear, right now we're going to believe that today, you're going to begin a path of stepping out of faith, believing I'm going to walk in faith and no longer in fear. I'm going to believe with you right now that make that one of the goals that you have this year, that you are going to walk and overcome fear in your life, overcome worry and anxiety. You don't have to live that way any longer. Amen? This is what we got to believe for this thing. And so when I'm setting a vision for the year, this is personal. When you start finding personal freedom, you start having a peace in you that is able to minister peace to others. But when you're in turmoil, it's really hard to let something out of you that's not in you. Last thing I have is physical. The enemy loves attack our body. You know, I got a couple texts last night. I won't be in church tomorrow. Got the flu bug. I know it's going around. But I want to believe with you. And my body in 2018. Remember what doctor has said, which I believe in doctors. I also believe in everything other profession. But I believe in God's word. That he said, by his stripes I'm healed. And so I want to believe with you that anything that you're going through, whether I know about it, whether your neighbor knows about it, whether anyone knows about it, I'm believing with you right now that God's word is going to prevail over those areas of physical assault in your life this year. Amen? So whatever you're struggling with right now, I'm believing God's word says, let's just go ahead and quote Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who what? Heals all my disease, forgives all my sins. Which one's greater? In God's eyes are the same. Same cross, same power, same Jesus. And he did this for us. It's part of the benefits of being a child of God. And so I want to believe with you right now that the benefit of healing is yours this year. The manifestation, the full manifestation of the word of God would come to pass in your life in this area right now. And so if you go back to Hebrews chapter 12 with me, and then I'm going to close right here. So I've got about 3 or 4 more minutes, and then I'm going to close this morning. Hebrews 12, one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite chapters, is while you're turning there, I'm going to give you the story, because I skipped Philippians chapter 2, but if those that know Philippians 2 pretty well, Jesus says that he emptied himself and became a man, humbled himself to death, death on a cross. He saw himself that one day his name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus humbled himself. And he knew that he was to stay humble because he came to earth with one purpose, is to seek and save the lost and to accomplish what the Father had for him. Jesus came with purpose. And this is, I want to encourage you, this is the story that I really want to close with this morning for you. Jesus came to this earth knowing he had purpose. Every one of us in this room has purpose that we must fulfill on this earth. And believe it or not, it's not just having a good job and a good marriage and a good family and a lot of money in your bank. God gave you kingdom. Those are benefits of being a child of God, by the way. You can have all those things. And seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? And all these things shall be added to you. Those are just additions. That's just because we have a great God that goes, see, I told you I'm great. I can be great in every area of your life. That's good. But what's best is to know that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we're seeking the kingdom, that means we need to be seeking out what is our kingdom purpose. And this year, I am believing, and I think I told you I'm going to have this in my notes a couple times. I promise I'll end with this one too. What is my kingdom purpose? What was I created to be here for? It wasn't just to be a good dad, even though I probably could be a better one. It wasn't to be a good husband, I could be a better one. It wasn't just that, it was because God has a kingdom purpose in every one of your lives. And what is it? What am I not fulfilling, and what can I start in faith believing for this year for every one of you in this room? And you know what? I'm not saying you can't go to work and be the best evangelist at your workplace. And that might be what God has for you, but do it with everything you got. God wants you. There's a ministry. There's an opportunity that God has for every one of us to do this. So Hebrews chapter 12, let's read this. Verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, sin, which easily besets us. Let us run the race with patience, the race that's set before us. Looking into Jesus. Now, the race is our life on this earth. This was Jesus' race too. He put off those things. He says he was tempted earlier in Hebrews 4. He was tempted every way, but he didn't fail. This says put off those sins in our life. Put off those things that are hindering you. Put them aside. So you can run the race. And look at verse 2. This is one of my favorite. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we start this morning talking about faith. Faith is the substance, but also is what? The finisher of our faith is Jesus. He's the one going to accomplish this through you, but you got to believe for it. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Jesus is our example, and he is the example of how we're to live our life this year in 2018. Who for the joy set before him, he saw himself seated at the throne of God. He didn't see a cross, he saw through the cross. He didn't see sickness, he saw through the sickness. He didn't see pain, he saw through it. And my encouragement for every believer and everyone in this room right now is in 2019, when January strikes, I'm believing that every one of those areas that we're going to have faith goals for, we're going to see through the problem, see through the trial, see through the setbacks, and still see ourselves in victory, in place of victory. Just because you say, in Jesus' name, I'm going to be set free from pornography, and in 3 months from now, you slip up, don't lose your focus. Get back and see yourself victorious. Because if enemy's job, or I'm going to be set free from drugs and or alcohol, or whatever it might be in your life that's a stronghold. My physical body, I'm healed, and you walk victorious, and then pain starts coming back. See yourself seated in victory in Christ. When you see yourself in a place of victory, no matter what comes before you, who for the joy set before him endured the cross? Why did he have joy in the journey? Because he saw himself in victory despite the problem he had to go through. Despite he had to go through the cross, he knew the cross was coming, but he saw through the cross. He saw through it, and he saw himself victorious. If you are only seeing the crosses in your life, the places where you have to go and go to another place of death and burial and resurrection so you can get free, and you start seeing these things, they'll become a distraction to you because you won't see yourself victorious. So, every single goal that you have, every faith goal you put out there this year, you've got to have the passion to pursue it. So this morning, I want to pray for you. I'm going to pray for every one of you right now, that God would give you the passion to pursue your purpose. So, if you do with me, if you want to play music, you're welcome to, or they can put something, you know me, I'm just going to start praying some stuff, and I'm going to be done, okay? The band's like, sure, we'll do it. Look at them all, get up there. We love playing music. I wrote this question out. Can you see yourself in victory through the cross? Through the pain of your relationships, through the pain of your body, through all the trials that you're going through hating your job, or looking at your finances and seeing a balance in your checkbook, can you see that through the cross there is a place of victory for you? I want to this morning ask that you refocus. Stop looking at the problems. Stop looking at the areas of defeat. Stop looking at your failure and start looking at what God has promised you. There's a testimony that I really wanted to share this morning that I just was reminded of that I skipped over. I skipped over a lot of my notes. I was telling someone this morning, I said, 6 weeks ago I had some of this written out, and then after 6 weeks it just keeps getting added to, so I knew I had to take some of it out. But a testimony is this. I've been married, this year will be 20 years. And it's been 20 blissful, wonderful years. Those that know our testimony would know that's not a true statement. It's been a lot of years of trials. Because we both came into our marriage with junk. Anybody else came in relationships with junk? I came with junk. She came with not as much, of course. But I came with a truckload. And trying to build relationship when you have prior history and you merge together, those past mindsets and walls that you put up don't disappear just because, we're married. It's magic. No, actually, it's kind of like anything else. You got married. Now it's worse. Because now you have to live together with those issues. Amen? Okay, good. It wasn't just me. But so the first couple years was just nothing but, I don't think we slept half the time. We were arguing. But all those walls were just defenses because of a fear of intimacy, a fear of letting your guard down and letting somebody else love you the way you deserve to be loved. Take this out of the realm of marriage for a minute. Every relationship you have requires you to come into it like this. If you come into it like this, you're going to get exactly what you came in for. Walls will be up, and you wonder why you're feeling that way. You're feeling that way because you're the one putting the walls up. You're not letting them in, and they're not allowing you in because there's a wall. I want to see every one of those walls, whether it's your children, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your friendships. I want to see every single wall come crashing down this year in your life. And I want to see true relationships. And I want to have you this morning get a vision for what intimacy and relationship looks like. Every dream that you have will be fulfilled because God put the dream there. If I hear one more time, nobody in this room has said it to me, at least this year. It's only been a couple weeks. I prayed about it, and you know what? There's no way I can marry this person. There's no way I'll be happy in this relationship. Well, whose choice is that? It's yours. Let your guard down first. Let your heart be open first. Risk the pain again. Oh, that's terrible. Take the risk, and let them take the risk, and let's jump in this big old wide ocean this year together and believe that God has a better plan for your finances, for your marriage, for your relationships, for your jobs, for your ministry that you have. I believe that God's going to give you this vision. So this year, I'm going to ask as you leave the church this morning that you're going to spend this week, just do it 5 minutes a day if you have to. I'm asking you to do this for me. Ask the Lord to give you a vision back that you could see beyond your cross and to see your crown again. Beyond your problems and your friendships, your relationships, and your finances, ask him to give you your vision back. And I had a scripture in Genesis I was going to read about Joseph dreaming, and it said, and then he dreamed a dream again. God gave him a dream twice because he knew there'd be trials in the midst of it. Because right after he dreamed the second dream, he got sold into slavery and thrown in a pit. You know what he had in that pit? Looking around, he could have felt like, I'm in hell here. I'm in misery here. All I can see is dirt walls around me. He had a dream that was inside of him that motivated him to know that I'm not going to die here because I just had a dream, and then God confirmed it with another dream. I am not going to die. I'm going to rise up out of this pit. And that's what I want to encourage you in every area of your life. One of the things I left out of my notes also, I just remembered, was, is your motivation internal or external? External means you let other people dictate your passion. Internal means the Holy Spirit drives your passion. You've got to have Holy Spirit-driven passion, and he's the only one that can replace all the years of pain, agony, and frustration. So would you stand with me? I want to pray with you. I want you to get your faith together. I really believe the power of words, the power of faith today. So if you'd agree with me right now, don't look around and say, man, I wish someone, I want to believe with you right now that every trial that you're going through this year, you can see yourself in a place of victory. So first and foremost, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you right now. Just surrender. I surrender to you right now. I want you to speak to me. I'm tired of looking at the wall in front of me. All I can see is the cross. All I can see is the place of defeat. Even though the other side of the cross is the greatest place of victory Jesus ever gave us. But on the front side of the cross, even he prayed in John 17, if there be any way, take this cup from me. There was pain on the other side of the cross. There was frustration, anguish, sweating, drops of blood. That right now, I want you to see yourself. You're not alone. Jesus was in a garden before he died. And he went through the pain. And what you're going through right now, he can relate to. So I'm going to ask you, would you just give it to him this morning? Come on, all the disappointments. I got married thinking it'd be better than this. I had kids thinking it'd be better than this. I have a job. I should be better financially. All these things. Lay it down right now. Just lay it down. Lord, I surrender my marriage, my friendships. I surrender my body right now, that the sick body, that the one that feels pain, I surrender right now. I lay it down so I can receive the gift of a new saved body, healed body, free body, non-addicted body. I lay down those addictions right now. I don't care. I'm not going to argue with you about it. You know, I can drink. I can do that. Whoa, stop. If you know in your heart, if it's against the word of God in your life, lay it down. I don't care what someone else has told you. Lay it down. Listen to your spirit today. The Holy Spirit will lead you to all truth. Don't listen to somebody else's opinion. internal, not external, will get you free. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to every single person right now in this room. Lay it down. As he's speaking to you right now, lay it down. Lay down those hurts. Lay down those frustrations. Lay down that list of accusation. Lay down that list of judgments right now. Repent. Lord, I've judged so-and-so. I've done these things. I lay it down right now. Get yourself in a place to receive now. Get yourself in a place. You can't receive from the junk. You got to get rid of the junk. Get rid of the false expectations. Because I'm about to give you expectation, but this time it's in faith in God. Lord, I believe. This is where you start. Ready? Lord, I believe that my finances are being restored today. I believe my finances are being restored now. And I will do my part in obedience and what I spend and what I give. I will do my part, but I thank you that you've already done your part. My finances are free. You said you want us to prosper and be in good health. That's what your word says. So I'm believing you at your word. 3 John verse 2, beloved, above all else, I wish that you would prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. So Lord, I thank you that the prosperity of every person has been spoken in your word. And I believe it and I receive it now. I believe right now that my body has been made whole. The word of God says I am healed by the stripes that Jesus bore on his back. So therefore, today, I lay down the sickness and disease. I thank you that it's gone, and I've received my inheritance as a child of God. I'm healed. Lord, now, we lay down these relationships that are broken. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, I want y'all, you gotta receive this. This is by faith. This is faith here. I ask for you today to birth in me a new passion. Restore my passion. Maybe some of you need it for the first time. Give me passion to love my wife, my husband, my children, my friendships. Give me my passion back. That I would drive my purpose to see my marriage and my friendships, my relationships victorious, no longer defeated. But today, I'm trusting in the Lord that he is able to restore passion and intimacy where the enemy has robbed it. Today, we choose to go by faith and believe in restoration. I'm setting a vision. And last but not least, Lord, I ask you that every single person in this room has kingdom purpose. May you today begin to reveal in their heart. Some of you right now, I'm hearing this really clearly right now from the Lord. Some of you knew your passion, tried it, came and went, but today I'm asking you, restore that passion. You know you're called. You know you have ministry in you. You know it. Stop fighting it. Just receive by faith that this is the year you're going to go back and fulfill. You're going to do it. Some of you have never heard of it before. Today, ask the Lord, give you passion to pursue your purpose in ministry. Lord, I thank you today that we are a church that is full of passion. I'm believing in faith, speaking this over every one of us right now. We are a church that is full of passion to pursue our purpose. And by faith, we declare it will come to pass. I'll receive that this morning. We are a church that is passionately pursuing our purpose. And by faith, we declare it will come to pass what we're believing for. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Bring light to the darkness you give. Hearts will cry, these bones will sing.